You are listening to the Way of Truth broadcast originating in the radio studios of the Church of God in Hagerstown, Maryland, United States of America. Wherever you are listening to this international broadcast, this is Alvin Craig, and we welcome you. Heavenly Father, we are truly thankful for the privilege of sharing this broadcast with this precious people today. We are thankful for the love of God, and we're thankful for the gift of your dear Son, and we're thankful for the gift of salvation through Him. Now we pray that as this broadcast service goes forth, the Holy Spirit will accompany it and will make it a blessing to each one in our congregation. This we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
I found a refuge now from every sorrow, joy everlasting is free. I see this world with all its sinful follies, comfort at my feet. Oh, blessed thought, my sins are gone, I lean on Jesus Christ. And while the storm went past,
Our subject for today's broadcast, Are You a Soldier? We read in 2 Timothy chapter 2, verses 3 and 4, Thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. No man that warreth entangleth himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who hath chosen him to be a soldier. Our subject today might be a little different than what you hear a lot of times. I know that Christianity and living the Christian life is the only real way to live in this world and be happy and have the peace of God in your soul. But everything is not smooth and easy. You do not sit down in a rocking chair and rock your way to glory. And you're not always on the mountaintop. You know, there are valleys between mountains, and there are times whenever we are in the midst of fiery trials, and we need and desire the grace and help of Almighty God. So, are you a soldier of the cross? And I'd like to start with calling your attention to some soldiers that have gone on before us and have fought the good fight of faith. I will start with the man Peter. Peter was a fisherman whom Jesus called to follow him, a prince of preachers, a man who had great power with God, used of God to heal many who were sick and even raise one or more from the dead. Tradition says he was crucified head down because he did not feel worthy to be put to death with his head up as his master was. Andrew, who, among many other things, introduced his brother Peter to Jesus. Tradition says he was crucified in southern Greece, hung on the cross alive for 2 days, exhorting spectators all the time during those 2 days that he was alive before he died there on the cross. James, another fisherman, Jesus called to follow him. He was with Jesus in Gethsemane, and he was also with Jesus up on the Mount of Transfiguration. Tradition says he was killed 10 years after Stephen was stoned to death. Also, that his accuser was converted by James and James's courage, and the two of them were beheaded together. Next, we have John, known as the beloved apostle, the one Jesus gave the responsibility to care for his mother while he was at the foot of the cross. John was also up on the Mount of Transfiguration, and he was with Jesus there in the Garden of Gethsemane, and he was also there at the foot of the cross. As I say, Jesus gave John the responsibility of looking after his mother. Now, John was banished from the mainland to the little island of Patmos, where he received the revelation. Also, tradition says that he was thrown into a hot boiling cauldron of oil and was miraculously delivered. Tradition tells us that he was the only one that died a natural death. Philip brought Nathanael to Jesus, preached the gospel in Asia Minor near Ephesus, and tradition says that he was crucified about 54 A.D. Bartholomew preached the gospel in Mesopotamia, present-day Iraq, also in Persia, present-day Iran, and also in India. And tradition says that he was crucified by idolaters in India. Thomas, a fisherman with Peter and Andrew, and called by Jesus to preach the gospel. And he preached in Parthia, another part of Iran, and also in India. And tradition says he was thrust through with a spear in India. And then we have Matthew, a tax collector for the Romans, and a man called to preach the gospel by Jesus Christ. And he preached in Ethiopia. Tradition says he was killed with a sword about 60 A.D. And then we have James, the first bishop of Jerusalem. Tradition says that he was stoned by the Jews at the age of 90 and ended up with his brains bashed out with a fuller's club, a club that they used to make fuller soap. And his brains were bashed out by that club. Jude, among other things, wrote the little book that we have in our Bible called Jude. And tradition says that he was crucified in 72 A.D. at the city of Edessa, which is in Turkey. And Simon preached in Africa and also in Britain. And tradition says that he was crucified in Britain in 74 A.D. And then we have Judas, who was the treasurer of the apostolic group, and he committed suicide. So Paul was the only one of the 12, or John rather, was the only one of the 12 that lived a natural life and died a natural death. And then we have the old soldier Paul, who preached the gospel in Asia Minor and in Europe. Of the Jews, he said, five times he received, I 40 stripes save one. Three times was I beaten with rods. Once was I stoned. Three times I suffered shipwreck. A night and a day I have been in the deep, in journeyings often, in perils of water and in perils of robbers, in perils by mine own countrymen, in perils by the heathen, in perils in the city, in perils in the wilderness, in perils in the sea, in perils among false brethren, in weariness and painfulness, in watching often, in hunger and thirst, in fastings often, in cold and nakedness. Besides those things that were without, that which cometh unto me daily, the care of all the churches. And this is recorded in 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verses 24 through 28. And Paul said in regard to all of those things, none of these things move me. And he wrote to Timothy, I have fought a good fight. I have kept the faith. Therefore, there is a crown of righteousness laid up for me in glory, and not for me only, but for all those who love his appearing. And tradition tells us that Paul was beheaded in the city of Rome. And we read in the 11th chapter of Hebrews, the faith chapter as we call it, the first part of this chapter, it tells of marvelous victories that various ones won, including Moses, who chose to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. But then we go on in this 11th chapter of Hebrews, and we come to verse 36, and it says, and others had trial of cruel mockings and scourgings, yea, moreover, of bonds and imprisonment. They were stoned, they were sawn asunder, were tempted, were slain with the sword. They wandered about in sheepskins and goatskins, being destitute, afflicted, tormented, of whom the world was not worthy. And then we come to one more soldier that I want to mention, and his name was Jesus. Jesus was the Son of God. He was a master teacher. There has never been such a teacher walk the face of this earth any more successful than the Lord Jesus Christ. And he was a great healer. He healed all that came to him. He was a miracle worker. He spoke to the waves and the winds there on the Sea of Galilee, and said, "Peace be still," and there was a great calm. He called Lazarus out of the tomb after he had been dead for 4 days. And what happened to this precious soldier of the cross? He was crucified on the cross. But thank God he was different from the others, because on that third day he came forth out of that tomb triumphant over death, hell, and the grave. Now, my title for thoughts today are you a soldier? I'd like for you to look with me now in the book of Ephesians, chapter 6, beginning with verse 10. "Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all to stand, stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked, and take the helmet of salvation, and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints." That's reading down through verse 18. Now, more than one person has said, as you read of this armor that God has provided for us and for what Paul told us to put on, you don't find anything for the back. No, God did not intend for us to turn and run. He intended for us to stand and fight. And again, I realize that you don't hear much about this kind of warfare and this kind of living. Everything is not bed and roses or easy in the warfare that we are in. And we are in a warfare. If you're a Christian today, you are called to be a good soldier. Therefore, endure hardness as good soldiers of Jesus Christ. No man that warreth entangleth himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who hath chosen him to be a soldier. So if you are a Christian today, you are a soldier, and you are called to war a good warfare. And we have instructions here, beginning with verse 10. Paul said, "Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might." I am convinced that the reason Peter denied the Lord after he had so strongly declared that he would not deny the Lord, he was even willing to die with him, I am persuaded that the reason he did deny the Lord hours later was because he was putting too much confidence in Peter, when his confidence should have been in the Lord. So Paul said, "Be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might." We need to remember the scriptures tell us without God we can do nothing. We can't even make one hair white or black. And our very breath is given to us by God. So as a soldier of the cross, let us put our confidence in our captain, the Lord Jesus Christ. And he said, put on the whole armor of God, not just part of it, but put on the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, No, this is not a carnal warfare. We're not using guns and tanks and bombs. That isn't the kind of warfare that we are in. We are in a spiritual warfare, and we are not wrestling against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Yes, spiritual wickedness. There's a lot of wickedness in the spiritual realm, in the religious world. There's a lot of wickedness there. And all false religion is opposed to God and His true soldiers. Mark that. All false religion is opposed to God's true soldiers. And they would endeavor to defeat the soldiers of Christ. And Paul has given us here instructions as to how we are to arm ourselves so that we'll be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all to stand, stand therefore. Yes, stand. Don't flee. Don't turn your back. Don't run. But stand firm and steadfast. And when the Lord tells you to go forward, as He told Moses there at the Red Sea, then go forward. Do not retreat. Do not run. Do not turn your back. And do not be faint-hearted. Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth. Now, this is vital. It isn't error that's going to protect us, but it is the truth. Having on the breastplate of righteousness. Who says you cannot live righteous? You must have on the breastplate of righteousness. And if you have on the breastplate of righteousness, you're going to live righteous. And this is a part of the armor that we must have on. And your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. I've said before, and I'll say on this broadcast, one reason why some people get offended so easily and hurt so easily is because they don't have their shoes on. And your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Whenever you have peace with God, you are to have peace with your fellow man. Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. And beloved, without faith, it is impossible to please God. So the faith, the shield of faith, is another very important part. In fact, all of these things that Paul mentioned here are important. But he does stress this particular point. Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith you shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked, and take the helmet of salvation. Salvation from sin, deliverance from sin, and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. You know, not everyone knows how to use that sword. We have to have the sword of the Spirit if we're going to fight the good fight of faith, and we need to know how to use it. Taking the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, and the Spirit of God is the one who inspired holy men of old to write the Scriptures, and the Spirit of God is the one who knows the meaning of the Scriptures. And Jesus said of the Spirit, He is the Spirit of truth, and whenever He has come, He will lead you and guide you into all truth. And so take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. Prayer is also a very important part of our armor. Men ought always to pray and not to faint. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Again, are you a soldier of the cross? Then fight the good fight of faith and be able to say, even as Paul of old, I have fought a good fight. I have kept the faith. Henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord shall give me in that day. Heavenly Father, we pray that you'll bless these thoughts to our precious congregation today. the Holy Spirit accompany them, encourage hearts, and bless souls, we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. It's been a privilege to share another Way of Truth broadcast with you, and we do trust that it has proven to be a blessing. Now, our mailing address is the Way of Truth broadcast, Post Office Box 88, Hagerstown, Maryland, 21741, USA. The Way of Truth broadcast, Post Office Box 88, Hagerstown, Maryland, 21741, USA. Our email address is truth@fred.net. truth@fred.net, our email address. And our fax number is 301-739-7173. 301-739-7173, our fax number. Our webpage address, www.wayoftruth.org. Remember, you can join us in our services. Our Sunday morning service begins 20 minutes before 11. That's Eastern Time. And our evening service begins at 6. And our services are broadcast live over the Internet. And we invite you to be a part of our congregation. Our webpage address again, www.wayoftruth.org. And now, this is Alvin A. Craig. We thank you for the privilege of sharing the Way of Truth broadcast with you today. And we'd like to invite you to tune in next week when again, the Lord willing, we'll be coming your way with another Way of Truth broadcast. Until then, may the blessings of heaven rest and abide upon each and every one of you is our sincere prayer.
For so long I had searched for life's meaning, enslaved by the world and its greed. But the door of my prison was opened by love. The ransom was paid, I was free. I'm free from the fear of tomorrow. I'm free from the guilt of the past. For I traded my shackles for a glorious song. I'm free, praise the Lord, free at last. I'm free from the guilt that I carry, from the dull, empty life I'm set free. For when I met Jesus, He made me complete. He forgave me and now I'm free from the fear of tomorrow. I'm free from the guilt of the past. For I trade.